How intimate can you get relationally with a person when you show up late, potentially, you're rushing in, you go in, you sit down, you observe the connection event taking place on a stage in front of you, where you are just a spectator. So you spectate this event. And then when it's over, you got to get home, right? You got to make dinner, or you got plans, or you got whatever, whatever, whatever.
Welcome back to the Rheology Podcast. Rheology is a nonprofit ministry that is centered around rethinking, researching, and rediscovery, a process that dives deep into the depths of an intimate partnership with God through a concept Jesus initiated called ecclesia. We strive to cultivate an environment that is not only safe to question and seek, but also one that is founded on the truths of partnership, words of hope that were uttered from the lips of Jesus himself. So in this podcast, we'll question Christian tradition, we'll investigate God myths, and we'll listen to those who are stirring, questioning, and desperately seeking more of what God is doing in and around us each day.
So let's switch this over into the church realm of things. Most church, so they suffer just like we do. They have no clear understanding of what community is. They're regurgitating old ideas without understanding.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's not just about community. It's about a lot of things, but we're only talking about community. As a result, they don't know what to do. And so they prioritize, they create programs. And the result is programs become prioritized over people, which is ironic because the programs, in theory, are supposed to be about the people. But it's the programs that get the dollar bills, right? It gets the sweat equity, it gets the mental equity. Somebody has to go in and make these things happen. And so because that's the case, the program takes priority over the people.
Yeah.
Nobody would ever say that, right?
Yeah.
But nobody has to say it. All you have to do is sit back and observe.
Yeah.
Sunday mornings are an orchestra of connection events, not community events. Everything from it's a touch here from the parking lot into the foyer, into the service where you have a connection point with the worship and you have a connection point with announcements and you have a connection point with the sermon. And on your way out, have a
and
connection
maybe even
point
a connection
with
card. Don't
yeah.
The connection
it's,
card.
It is an orchestral performance of a variety of connection activities. And it's the thing that every church focuses on. Most churches focus on. How in the world can you create community when the vast majority of your resources are going towards connection events?
Yeah.
You just can't.
Specifically, you know, one huge connection event.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The connection event.
Right.
You know,
right.
The official
because,
one.
Because the community groups, the do groups, the home groups, the whatever they want to call them, whatever the new fancy phrase is everyone's jumping on. Those become, for most people, and I'm saying this not only from personal experience, for that I personally have felt, but because I've been a part of these groups, I mean, you know, I'm turning 50 this year. I've been in church and I've been around church for a long time. And the vast majority of people, especially now, and it's getting more and more this way, are busy.
Yep.
And their kids have activities. And they have to drive 30 minutes to get to their community group. And reason after reason after reason, and it becomes simply one more thing on the calendar that they have to do.
Well,
doesn't sound
about,
like community.
Yeah, I mean, it never really kind of gets there. And I'm not going to, and again, we're not saying that there aren't groups that form outside of the worship service on Sunday that don't actually like do well. There are, but as we said earlier, the success rate is like, it's very evident. Let's put it that way. It's very evident that getting people involved in groups is a very secondary goal, a minor goal to the number one major goal, which is getting people to be there on Sunday morning. It's almost, as you and I have said before, the mentality is like, well, we got him here, now what? And let's get him together. And it's not quite, you know, organic. And I think that's like one of the problems we've talked about as well before, like the idea of organic community or even organic connections, if we wanted to.
That is just what I was going to say.
You know,
yeah,
we can do that. Like I said earlier, like you and I get, you know, season tickets to the, you know, the Hornets games or Panther football games or whatever, you know, that's an organic little network we got there because we're all going, we have one, at least one, you know, one area of commonality. And for the church, that's primarily kind of what that is. Well, we all happen to go to the same church. We might as well get together and hang out and see if it turns into intimacy magically somehow.
That's right.
And it doesn't. Let me ask you this. As far as you have talked about this before, you and I have talked about this before, but you were on, last time you were on, we talked about your stirring story. And one of the things that you said in your stirring story was, because you and I both have split personalities as far as career goes, right? We had equal time in the ministry world and equal time in the actual business world. And so we understand business and structure and strategy and those kinds of things, planning, right? You mentioned that the church really can't do a lot of these things because it's just not really structured to do it. It's not built to do those things. And community is now connections, maybe it's built because it does have one connection event, and maybe it does okay with that. But it's really not built for intimacy. Mm-mm. Right?
No, surface level socializing. Right? How intimate can you get relationally with a person when you show up late, potentially, you're rushing in, you go in, you sit down, you observe the connection event taking place on a stage in front of you, where you are just a spectator. So you spectate this event. And then when it's over, you got to get home, right? You got to make dinner, or you got plans, or you got whatever. So yeah, there's nothing organic about it. There's nothing intimate or deep about it. It's surface level socializing, and that's the norm. And if that's the norm for the primary event that's being promoted, guess what? Trickle down theory, it's going to trickle down into all of the other sub events that church has, because that's the way it's done. And that's the result of people regurgitating ideas that they don't understand.
Yeah.
They can't create it because they don't know how to.
Yep. Yeah. They're not built for it. Another thing you said, just said something that made me, you know, I think of, yeah, I love that idea. It's like the trickle down, everything else they do has an asterisk. Everything else they do. Everything
Yeah.
else they do, because everything else they do ultimately is a part of the strategy that they've put together to continue to build the main thing, ultimately. So therefore, everything that they do outside of a worship service on Sunday morning still has, a underlying goal of reinforcing that Sunday morning event.
Right.
And let me say this too. I'm getting really, really tired of seeing people, primarily pastors. And if you're a pastor listening to this and you get offended by it, well, it's because you do it. And so let's just get clear here real quick. I get sick and tired of pastors blaming people who come to church and saying that they are consumers, they are only consuming. And you just said it yourself right there. What else are we supposed to do?
It's
You've,
designed for
it's designed,
consumption.
exactly. It's completely designed for me to consume it.
These people keep
So,
coming to my restaurant and eating all of my food. Dang it. What's wrong with these people?
right. Hey, if you're set up that way, rejoice that people came and they consumed.
That's right.
And as we've said before, listen, if this is what you want to do as a ministry or a nonprofit organization, is set up an event and have people come to it and they sit and they watch, then there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. So that's not the point of this conversation. The point
Agreed.
is, when we have just said it ourselves, why is it so hard to find community in church, especially when churches say, hey, this is where community is found? Apparently not.
Yeah, and I want to make sure to be very clear from my point of view. I know that I can sound, angry or frustrated about this whole thing. And I'm, or being against the church. I'm not. I'm not. I'm not. I'm not. I'm not. I'm not. I am just so much for the idea of doing something that actually creates the result we want and not spinning our wheels doing things that people have been doing for the last 50, 60, 70 years, not understanding why, and then creating results we don't want and not and being like, well, why is this happening? We don't get it. I'm very committed to doing it right, to figuring out the why. Yeah, if you want to go to church and if you like the connections that you make at church, cool. But guess what? The church cannot, unless they make some drastic changes, the church is not going to actually be a place of community. It's a connection point. It's a collection point of connections.
And and the funny thing is like most of the time that's done, it could end up being like a really great thing, right? They really could help point people in the right direction as far as
Absolutely.
community. They don't, because I think they accidentally got found themselves in this position. They didn't really probably do that on purpose. Because they're only, the only mentality here is like, well, this is what church is. You get together and we have a couple songs and we do a transition and someone speaks for 30, 40 minutes and we sing one more song and everybody leaves. I mean, that's what. So it's not really, I don't want to give some pastors too much credit, because I don't think they're actually intentionally thinking, hey, this is a connection event and we can, connect people in different ways and then we can send them out or help them find, community elsewhere. They're not doing that. But it could be cool. I mean, it could be really, really cool to be able to say, hey, a part of who we are is we're going to like be very, very intentional. Like, again, you and I have been baptized in the business world. And businesses that are not intentional end up losing their way and shutting down because they don't know who they are, they don't know what they're about, and they don't, if you don't know who you are and what you're about, then you definitely don't know how you're going to get there, because you don't even know where there is. So looking at church from that point of view, right? It's like there is room for someone to, as you just said, maybe let's just change some things around a little bit and let's be more intentional about helping people find other connections and then helping people find some semblance of the community that we're kind of talking about, and or at the very least helping them find an answer to your statement, right? Of people just know me and still like me.
Like me anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're right. That is the question. There, so the response is, well, so what do we do? Right? So what's the answer? What's the fix? Well, the answer is stop doing it the way you're doing it, because it's not going to get you there. But nobody's going to do that. I, however, for the last couple of years, have been working on a blueprint for, and I don't want to, it's not a church, for a place for people to come to be led by the Spirit of God and to engage with Him in a way that He leads them. And everything is built and based on a foundation of driving towards community. It is not Sunday morning centric. It is not sermon centric. It is not worship centric. It is not program centric. It's not easy. I've been working on this for years, and there's a lot of problems that I still have problems. There are still a lot of things I have to, you know, figure out how it would work.
Yeah.
But changing the mindset of people, that's going to actually be the biggest challenge. People
yeah, let's talk about that for a second, because, I have run across people that are not sold on the idea that community actually works in our culture now. You know, outside of like best friends that you've had forever and, you know, that are states away that, you can't be there physically, but you still have, you know, community with them, or your family, your direct family. But outside of that, I mean, my gosh, we just said there are millions of people who feel lonely every week. There are millions of people who feel lonely every day. And I guess my curiosity says, you know, what does, and it has to be organic or it's going to be institutionalized again. So therefore it's going to be short-lived, and that's cool. We have short, as you said, we've got short-lived task-based stuff that we're already involved in, right? It's like, you know, our kids, you coached softball.
Mm-hmm.
You don't anymore.
Nope.
You made connections via that and great connections. It was great. It's cool, but it was short lived. And right. that was the idea. You know, I mean, McKenna's not going to play softball until she's, 68 years old. And you're not going to coach until you're 88 or whatever. So
our plan is to actually coach together this fall.
There you go.
Well, bring it full circle.
And so that it changed and morphed. Right. So,
right. By the way, I'm super excited about that. Coached her for 4 years, and then we get to coach together.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure. So the question is, like, what does this look like for this 21st century American culture, for Christians who, let's put it this way, let's dumb it down. Christians that just want to be around other Christians, mm-hmm. right? And have the ability to possibly get to know one another and maybe build into something that's more, that looks more along the lines of, you know, iron sharpening iron, right? But is it possible? Does it exist? You just said it all right. I mean, dude, you just said it yourself. I mean, do we really get to know our neighbors anymore? I mean, right.
we have customized social bubbles. The digital world has primarily replaced the physical world in terms of socializing. I look at the younger generations and they are in a room together and they're all doing this together.
Yeah.
They might be doing it to each other.
Yeah.
In the same room. Right? But right. It's going to get worse and worse. And and the anxiety that these generations are experiencing and the loneliness that these generations are experiencing, it's going to bubble to a crisis. It's heading that way. You can read anybody's research on these younger generations and what's happening as a result of their extensive use of electronics and social media and all these things. It is absolutely terrifying to see what it's doing to them psychologically and emotionally.
People are also starting to date AI as well. I just saw an article on that on Monday night or something like that. But so that's another deal.
The answer to the question is, it's difficult because the landscape is still changing. Like as we're talking, I started working on this blueprint a couple years ago, but it's a totally different day today. The landscape is shifting so quickly. So that's got to be part of the strategy, is how do we deal with the rapidly shifting? We got to come up with something that deals with a rapidly shifting landscape. The bottom line is, it just takes hard work. You have to intentionally sacrifice something in order to go and find the believers that are in your area, proximity.
Yeah.
And over time, create a shared life and figure out where your interdependence may lie. And it's not easy. It's getting harder to do than it was 50 years ago. And it'll be harder 10 years from now. This really is a much bigger issue culturally that we have to tackle.
Yeah, I think that's why I asked it, because I've had, someone that's been on this podcast, and you've met him as well, but he, we had a conversation, 8 or 9 months ago. We sat down, had lunch, and he said, "You're talking about the ecclesia. What does it look like in our culture? What does it look like?" And I'm like, "The ecclesia is like, well, it's a partnership with God, but it can look like a ton of things. I mean, it can look like lots and lots and lots of things." But I think what he was asking more along the line was like, what does the partnership with, the fellow, other believers, right? The other human beings that are in partnership with God, this family, this body, like, what does that look like? And it is difficult, man. Cause, you and I are a lot alike. And I talked to my buddy Jason about this a lot. And I've told you how hard it is seemingly to just like enter into a conversation with people, unless you want something, aside from wanting something. Just, how many times, I mentioned it earlier, how many times in the last, let's put it this way, how many times in this year, 2025, okay, 3 full months, has someone texted you out of blue just saying, "Hey, man, I was just thinking about your day." Anybody? Have anyone?
Nothing comes to mind.
I mean, like you're saying, it's got to be something that, and maybe that's where the definition really needs to, maybe that's where training needs to come in with Christianity now. Maybe we're training people all the wrong ways, and we're trying to make disciples and make disciples, but we can't even like enter into like relationships with people,
Well, it's because the underlying problem for everything that you just said is that Western Christianity has its identity tied and wrapped up directly in the idea of a church service. The entire identity of Western Christendom is a church service. And until that identity changes, and until people have this wake up aha moment and say, "You know what? That's not what it is anymore. Things are changing. We need to grow with the times without sacrificing elements of our faith." And we need to figure this out. But my gosh, Scott, I mean, you and I've been talking about this for a decade.
I know.
And the identity of Western Christendom, despite all of the signs coming up and flashing and people leaving and all this kind of stuff. They just don't get it. They just can't see it.
Yeah. No, I can't. And it's going to be interesting to see. I'm still, because I think you know, even like with this podcast, we're trying to reach those people, right?
Right.
This is the idea of this podcast. We're trying to reach those people who, that's why we've titled this. That's why we had this idea of talking about this. Why is it so hard to find community in church? Because that is the seemingly, you know, that's the, you know, the symptom, right? You see that symptom rising, and there's more symptoms as well, but trying to get people together to help find a better way to like really relearn what a relationship, number one, what a relationship with God. I mean, shoot, dude, that's probably 99% of it. Our relationship with God is reflective into the relationships we have with God's people. Then, you know, surfacey, distant and convenient. And, we can keep it on that level with them. But, you know, I'm still trying to get people to, you know, come out of, you know, that funk or darkness and be able to come into a light of being able to be around other people to, at the very least, just to start questioning together and seeking together, you know, and really start to live out what the partnership is really supposed to be anyway, and allow God to lead from there.
Yeah. And that's it, right? There's always, as the great Marty Solomon from the Bema podcast has said numerous times, there's always a remnant. There's always people who will keep throughout history, who will keep Jesus central and our faith in Jesus central, regardless of how the activities of the faith goers, of the faithful, you know, ebb and flow throughout the centuries. And ultimately, you know, this feels like to us as one of those, you know, there needs to be a change, and we are just waiting for God's leadership and God's timing to continue to draw the people, because it's been happening for a decade, to continue to draw the people into the questioning space to rethink, research, rediscover.
There it is.
you know, what this faith in Jesus really looks like in modern day. So
from the whole Reology team, we hope these podcasts are encouraging and educational. Reology exists for three main reasons: to reach, train, and equip those who want to go deeper with God in this partnership called Ecclesia. If God has been stirring in your heart, where you are wondering if there's more than what you've been experiencing in today's 21st century Christianity, we'd love to connect with you, to hear your story and help you know that you are not alone. You can simply contact us via the website, reologylife.com, or reach out via Instagram at @reology_life. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.